IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A mortar attack killed two American soldiers and wounded four others on Friday at an outpost north of Baghdad, and a third American died in a gun battle in the northern city of Mosul. The mortar attack occurred about noon at a 4th Infantry Division forward operating base near Samarra, 70 miles north of Baghdad. It was the second mortar attack against the 4th ID position in as many days. Late Thursday, 13 soldiers from the division were wounded when a mortar struck a hangar at the U.S. Camp Warhorse near Baqaba, 40 miles northeast of Baghdad. The FBI has interviewed more than three dozen Bush administration officials, including political advisor Karl Rove and Press Secretary Scott McClellan, in its investigation into the leak of an undercover CIA officer's identity. The interviews have extended beyond the White House to other government agencies. The Defense and State Departments and the CIA itself are also part of the probe. The focus, however, remains on the White House, two law enforcement officials said, on condition of anonymity. While the initial interviews have yielded no major breaks, the FBI is satisfied that they are making progress and have not encountered any stalling tactics. So far, no grand jury subpoenas have been issued. American troops in helicopters swooped down on the remote sheep-herding village of Habariya, Iraq, on September 10th and detained nearly all the men, one as old as 81, one as young as 13. A month after the raid, apparently aimed at preventing terrorists from slipping across the border from Saudi Arabia, only two of the 79 captives have been freed. The sweep, similar to those conducted in Afghanistan by U.S. Special Operations troops, came at a time when American officials are concerned that foreign fighters, including those loyal to Osama bin Laden, are crossing into Iraq to join the resistance against the U.S.-led occupation. More IE America Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
From condoms to coffees, a tidal wave of trademark applications using shock and awe in their names is hitting the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. 7 months after the most overused cliche of the Iraq War entered the American jargon, a patent office official said on Thursday it had received shock and awe applications for golf clubs, pesticides, dietary supplements, video games, salsa, energy drinks, yo-yos, lingerie, Bloody Mary mix, and infant action crib toys. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when we cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved LiquiCaps.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frugal doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Oh. Thank God it's not Wednesday, huh? Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Friday evening. Program produced, as always, by Catherine Bay, announced by Robin Bittman. Phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. And if you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Also, if you want to send an email over the weekend, you might want to send it to MikeDMalloy@AOL.com. I'll get it that way. George Bush returns from his whirlwind tour of pissing off Asia. Yeah, he's back with his mommy. The first two items I have on the agenda here, interestingly, I got emails from people about them prior or subsequent to my deciding to use these topics. And I want to share the first one comes from Jody in Arlington Heights. Dear Mike, I guess the main topic for this communication is free speech. I'm so incensed by the Bushes this week. Of course, Gaulter Bush, and I had to look that one up, G-A-U-L-E-I-T-E-R, and damned if I didn't have to go to a German dictionary. A Gaulter, I know, you people know, but I didn't. A Gaulter is the head, the administrative head of a Nazi district. I guess it's strictly a Nazi term, a German word, but a Nazi term. See, I like that. I like to get emails with words I don't know, and then I can go online and look them up. So, anyway, Jody writes, of course, Gaulter Bush. Now somebody's going to say you're pronouncing it wrong. I'm sure I am. Of course, Gaulter Bush loves free speech as long as it is only available for himself and the rest of his despicable family and administration, so he can have Australian senators removed from their own government chamber. Not let the Aussie press ask any questions and pen in protesters and then has the gall under the words free speech to utter the words free speech while all this is going on. I had to have my puke bucket close by. Oh, that conjures up a nice image, Jody. Free speech, she writes, is also great for his shrew of a mother, as she has the airwaves and print media at her beck and call. As she labels the Democratic contenders, quote, a sorry lot, end quote. By the way, Jody writes, have any of those contenders stood up to her? Come on, she's just an out-of-shape old lady in pearls. They can take her. Imagine the blowback if Hillary Clinton had called the Bush family or the Bush administration a sorry lot. My God, the beating she would take. Not that it would do any good, but I called one of my senators and urged him strongly to do something about these free speech zones. I'm so tired of seeing it. Pens are for the sheep that follow Bush, not us free rangers. And then Jody writes some other stuff, and then she gets to this. Finally, my daughter's high school and another high school in our district are performing a slightly sanitized version of the Laramie Project for their fall plays. A few days ago, I got a phone call from a research firm in South Dakota wondering if I would answer a few questions for a survey. I asked what was the subject of the survey, and I was told that some schools in our district here, 214, were performing the play, The Laramie Project. And the survey was concerning the play. I took a deep breath so as not to let loose a string of epithets and asked who had hired them to do this survey. All the woman on the phone knew was that it was a concerned parent group in my area. So it must be parents. Right-wing you-know-whats, of course. I told her if they were so concerned, they could call me directly and ask themselves. Of course, the story was front-page news yesterday in the local paper, and lo and behold, the concerned parent group turns out to be one parent and a Chicago group affiliated with Focus on the Family. I wonder who's paying for the survey. Have a great weekend. Perhaps I will go see a play. Jody in Arlington Heights. Now, what she's talking about is in the Daily Herald, which is a newspaper in suburban Chicago, a very good newspaper, as a matter of fact, as far as suburban papers go. The play is being performed last night and tonight, and tomorrow night, at Prospect High School and John Hersey High School. The play is The Laramie Project. Now, it's based on interviews collected after the 1998 murder of Matthew Shepard, the openly gay 21-year-old young man in Laramie, Wyoming. Now, you remember the case. It was brutal. It's a play so charged with emotion, it says here, the teen actors say it's changed the way they think. And it's also so controversial, some parents say it shouldn't be staged. Well, you can imagine who those parents are. We'll get to that in a second. On the one hand, this so-called docudrama is lauded, praised by educators for going beyond the issue of homosexuality to teach tolerance of all kinds, of all sorts of people. On the other hand, the play is scorned by parents who say it sanitizes young Matthew Shepard, who had AIDS. And these right-wing parents say it doesn't tell the whole truth, and its attempt by public schools to push a pro-gay agenda. The devil! Pro-gay! Excuse me, I just get carried away there every time I see that, to push a pro-gay agenda. Every time I see that phrase, a demon says, rise up! You understand? It's very hard for me to stop it. Some of these right-wing parents have hired a company, a survey company, out in the one that Jody's referring to out in South Dakota, to phone 300 area parents in Illinois, suburban Chicago, to get some input on the play and related issues. Bruce Tinknell wrote this fall to the Hersey and Prospect principals, the two schools. Well, you know, they announced earlier in the fall, we're going to do this play. So this guy, Bruce Tinknell, wrote, it is inappropriate, it is an agenda-laden and unnecessarily controversial and divisive play, and we don't want it we don't want it staged. Now, we'll come back to Bruce in a minute. The play was spurred or instigated by Matthew Shepard's murder. It was written by a group of New York actors who did numerous interviews with Laramie, Wyoming residents and friends and acquaintances of Shepard and friends and acquaintances of his killers. Now, Shepard himself, Matthew Shepard himself, is not a character in the play. The play does not have the audience watch him die. The play does not hear very much from the killers. Instead, the play tries to, as theater sometimes does, it tries to go into the minds of real people using sometimes lengthy monologues to deliver their thoughts. You've seen plays like that before. You've seen movies like that. Swimming to Cambodia comes to mind immediately, right? That movie almost drove me insane. But that's what's the word I'm thinking of, Kathy? That is the instrument that is used in this play. The Laramie Project. Now, the teen actors, above all, they say it's a challenging play about a town and a society in general. And it's also, the teenagers say, about tough issues. The director of the fine arts director at Hersey High School, Denny McSherry, says that anyone, if anyone is reading anything more into it, it's ludicrous. McSherry said, to say that the high school is promoting a homosexual agenda is so far off the mark that it lacks credibility. Oops, I'm sorry, that happens every time. It's like a demon. It's just silly, McSherry said. We're running a drama program. Now, Naperville North High School last year, also in the Chicago suburbs, The Laramie Project was the play that wouldn't die. Everyone wanted to see it. Though there were a few negative mutterings here and there, the director of that play said it made an impact on the school and on state theater festival organizers who invited the cast to perform it there. Eventually, another high school, Rolling Meadows High School, also invited the cast to come and do it. The director at Naperville said it opened our kids' eyes to at least being tolerant of other people's point of view and being open to the fact that even if we don't agree, we can be tolerant. They learned a ton. I would encourage kids to do this. Take the controversy. I think the kids will benefit from the experience. Now, there's a disclaimer on Hersey High School's production. It lets parents know the play may not be suitable for kids under the age of 14. And that sent up a red flag to our friend Bruce Tinknell, who says if the schools want to teach tolerance, there are other ways to choose from. And he adds that no matter how it's framed by the directors, the Laramie Project still has obvious and overriding homosexual themes. Sorry. Tinknell says, the focus of the play revolves around a young man who is gay, who is bar hopping. Is that a lifestyle that we want to hold up and to celebrate for our children? Why do we need to seek out controversy? There are many other ways we can teach man's inhumanity to man. The executive director of the Illinois Family Institute, doesn't that sound nice? That's a Chicago-based group affiliated with the Christian right-wing fascist organization focused on the family, that psychopathic Reverend Dobson. Well, Peter LaBarbera, the executive director there, says they're making Matthew Shepard out to be almost like a saint. This was a man who was very troubled. If we're going to have a story of Matthew Shepard taught as a life lesson for the kids, it would seem to me there's a whole part of his life that's not being used to teach. He was a queer, you know. Peter and Mr. Tinknell and others say the Laramie Project is the latest baby step in a long line of efforts, including gay-straight alliances, to push pro-gay thinking in the local schools. I'm sorry. The demon. The pendulum of tolerance now, according to this freak LaBarbera, has swung so far to the other side that teenagers who oppose homosexuality may be scared into staying silent for fear of being called intolerant themselves. Oh, now the straight kids are afraid to say, "You dirty faggot!" And that's not the way it should be. They should be able to say that, and they're afraid to. Some school board members say they're eager to see this play. School board member Stan Eisenhammer says, I think it's a play that's quite appropriate for our kids. It's not about advocacy or a particular political agenda. What it's truly about, the director says, can be summed up in Act Two, where a Catholic priest reflects that even something as seemingly insignificant as name-calling is the seed of violence.
Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff. Show.
An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina, who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature. One word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? MakeThemAccountable.com. Carolyn Kay there, a friend and part of the resistance, sent me a link Back to her site. A friend of mine, Sheldon Drobny, who is the Shell in Ann Shell Media. This is the one you've been hearing about that wants to start. This is a group that wants to start another liberal radio network. Shelley, my friend, was interviewed by, what's his name on Fox, Kathy? Britt Hume. No, he wasn't interviewed. Britt Hume interviewed the guy from National Review the guy from National Review who wrote an article about Shelley. It's going to be in the October 27th issue. I am in that article. What's his name, Kathy? The guy that I had the long interview with. Byron York. Thank you. So, now I've got you all confused. So, Byron York was being interviewed on Fox by Britt Hume. And they brought up, Britt Hume brought up something Byron York had put in the article about Shelley Drobny. Shelley Drobny is Jewish. She's very Jewish. As a matter of fact, he has endowed a Jewish studies program, University of Illinois at Chicago. He's a philanthropist. He is a heavy contributor to the Republican Party. He's a multi-millionaire based on his businesses, his business enterprises. His wife, Anita, is no slouch either. She is very much a businesswoman. And, you know, they're just a nice couple who live in the suburbs of Chicago. And they decided they had enough, they respect IE America Radio Network, and they're also putting together their own. All right? All right. So, Drobny had written a couple of articles, Shelley did, linking George W. Bush to the Nazis. Now, we all know the story. Everybody knows the story. Our good friend Joe Connison wrote a piece in the New York Observer 2 days ago that said, don't bring up Bush and the Nazis. Well, Joe, I disagree. I think Bush and the Nazis should be brought up every damn day. Shelley Drobny mentioned as one of his sources for an article he wrote for MakeThemAccountable.com a couple of writers who put together a book about this who were at one time associated with Lyndon LaRouche. Oh, Lyndon LaRouche! Oh, God! So Britt Hume starts talking to Byron York about Lyndon LaRouche. Lyndon LaRouche went to jail in this country for credit card fraud. He's been identified as a left libertarian freak fringe group. Now, when you think about this for a second, the Reverend Sun Myung-moon, who's the chief financial officer for the Bush crime family, has been in jail for tax evasion. Elliot Abrams is a convicted felon. Half the people that work in the Bush crime family are convicted felons who are either pardoned or evaded their day in court, right? But because it's Lyndon LaRouche, so they went on and on and on and on. On Britt Hume's program about what Shelley Drobny had written about Bush and the Nazis. You see, you're not supposed to talk about this. Nobody's supposed to talk about this. You're not supposed to talk about gay folk. So anyway, among other topics. So anyway, Carolyn Kay, Make Them Accountable, sent me some of the rat mail she's gotten from right-wingers regarding Shelley's appearance on Fox News. It is vile stuff. You know, what is with these right-wingers? What is with these people who identify themselves as 38-year-old women who have children in middle school and who believe in the holy blood and bile and venom and excrement of Jesus Christ? And how could this Jew, Shelley Drobny, make comments about our beloved president? Oh, my God, I hate these people. I hate them. Oh, I hate them. I hate them. I just hate them. They make my eyes bleed. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them.
We're marching to a faster pace. Look out. Here comes the master race.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A shortage of oxygen could lead to a shortage of offspring for fish that live in polluted water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Some forms of water pollution rob the water of oxygen. That's hard on fish, and sometimes the shortage of oxygen will kill the fish outright. In other cases, the fish might survive, but the stress they endure could wipe them out over the course of generations. A new study reports that low oxygen can put so much stress on fish that they have problems reproducing. The research was published earlier this year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. One of the authors is Rudolph Wu, a biologist at the City University of Hong Kong. Wu studied two groups of carp in a laboratory setting. One group was exposed to low oxygen for up to 12 weeks. The reproductive success was 90% lower than the group raised under normal conditions. Wu says oxygen depletion lowered the fertility of the fish by affecting their endocrine systems. The technical term for this shortage of oxygen is hypoxia. Wu says hypoxia is a growing problem in aquatic environments around the world.
And this has a huge impact on the fish. And so there's a very good reason to believe under hypoxia, all this population will decrease tremendously. And in fact, that's happening in a lot of aquatic systems over the world.
Oxygen depletion is often a consequence of water pollution by fertilizer and other organic waste. Wu says the low oxygen levels he used in his experiments were similar to conditions in some waters that have suffered this kind of pollution. Wu is continuing his research with other species of freshwater and saltwater fish. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
To see why people would call you up, you really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
In truth. Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
Oh, my God. Kathy just got a phone call. Someone said, you know, you said that the Drobnys were heavy contributors to the Republican Party.
Ah!
Mea culpa. No. They wouldn't give spit to the Republican Party. They're heavy contributors to the Democratic Party. Thanks for helping me clear that up. Now, the second item comes from my old pal Jerky. Mike, I've heard an awful lot of gibberish from the right following the Senate's disgraceful decision to criminalize a medical procedure, which in some circumstances is considered necessary. Gaining access to the unvarnished opinions of the grossly misinformed is always an enlightening, if disturbing, experience. If nothing else, it affords an opportunity to examine the psychoses underlying those beliefs. I think what he's saying there is he has fun watching Republicans go nuts. Jerky goes on, personally, I think pro-lifers should face up to the truth about themselves and their movement. They're not so much pro-life as they are pro-birth. And they're terrified of their own mortality. None of them gives a flying fig about, quote, life, end quote. All they care about are embryos and vegetables, like that poor woman Jeb Bush is playing David Blaine with. You either get that or you don't. Down in Florida, they care about, quote, life, close quote, from conception to delivery. That much is true. But once birth has taken place, the little darlings are on their own, aren't they? Shred the social safety net. Defund public education. Repeal minimum wage. Let's glass Afghanistan. Three strikes in jail forever. Now let's glass Iraq. The death penalty rocks. We glass in Syria yet? Isn't that their agenda? Even when something goes horribly wrong with the pregnancy, they don't give an inch. They couldn't care less if a baby suffers needlessly for days or weeks, only to die in the end, just as long as it temporarily lives. They and their kind are mindless zealots. But being zealots doesn't make them righteous. I think I've figured out what really motivates their ilk to meddle in other people's personal business. It's an unconscious realization that the world would either be a better place or no different at all had they never been born. They also probably, and rightly so, fear that if they ever fall into a coma, the plug will be pulled at the first opportunity. They can't bear the thought of abortions and euthanasia because they ego-identify with the so-called victims of these procedures. This is because, like them, they, the right-wingers, are either unwanted, brain-dead, or both. This is a fact amply illustrated by perusing the resumes of the pro-life movement's leaders, an utterly worthless collection of human beings down to the very last obscenity-shrieking, firebombing, trigger-happy thug. Sincerely, your old pal, Jerky. Thanks, Jerky. Which leads us into, back into, in kind of a indirect way, the Terry Schiavo story. It wasn't about Terry Schiavo at all. The legislation passed, the legislation signed. The efforts by the psychopathic neo-Nazi, kill Christ, pee on his corpse, right-wing Christians was not about Terry Schiavo at all. Matter of fact, if you saw the New York Times today, you saw the article. Religious conservatives say that with an arsenal, I like that word, of prayer, vigils, Christian radio broadcasts, and thousands of emails to Florida lawmakers, amen, they played a pivotal role, hallelujah, in the legislative battle this week over whether to feed a brain-damaged woman who has been kept alive artificially for 13 years. Now some conservatives are hoping to use similar tactics to help them challenge court rulings they opposed in other states. Give me the snakes. Randall Terry, founder of the anti-abortion group Operation Rescue, said he and other conservatives intended to use what they consider a stunning victory here in Florida to pressure lawmakers elsewhere to chip away at court rulings allowing abortion and banning organized prayer in schools and the posting of the Ten Commandments. It wasn't about Terry Schiavo at all. I've already said I hate these people, haven't I? Can't say it again or it would become redundant. The religious right, according to the New York Times, was out in force in the days leading up to the vote. The Florida legislature outside the hospice where Terry Schiavo lay dead. They say dying in New York Times. Pickets from around Florida and the nation waved signs quoting biblical verse and accusing Mr. Jeb Bush of murder. On Christian radio, talk show hosts implored listeners to hold Mr. Bush and state legislators responsible if Ms. Schiavo did not survive. And thousands of email messages opposing her death on religious grounds jammed those lawmakers' computers, warning that they would be sorry. They did not stop the court-ordered removal of Ms. Schiavo's feeding tube. Meanwhile, her husband has sued the state, saying the new law is unconstitutional. Senator Tom Lee, a Republican from Brandon, Florida, who said he voted reluctantly for this bill, said, "I never had a worse day as a senator. You could feel how rotten people felt having to vote on this." Meanwhile, State Representative Johnny B. Byrd, Jr., a Republican who is Speaker of the Florida House, is running for the United States Senate on a far-right platform, and he was eager to claim much of the credit for what is now being referred to as Terry's Law. 2 weeks ago, Mr. Byrd announced that he was leaving the Episcopal Church, that gay-infested hovel, and becoming a Baptist because of the recent Episcopal vote to allow the consecration of a gay bishop. Political analysts in Florida said that Mr. Jeb Bush, a Roman Catholic who is strongly against abortion and talks frequently about the sanctity of life, was mostly acting on his own convictions and not the pressure from the religious right. Jim Kane, director of Florida Voter, a nonpartisan political news and polling service, said Jeb Bush has certain core values that are extremely important to him. It doesn't matter if it could win the state for his brother for the next two elections running. He wouldn't do it if it violated his belief about the sanctity of life. Amen. Well, that's what the Times said. They had more to say, but I have a question. This is a question I've always wondered about. Trying to remember if I asked my grandmother before she died. My grandmother was a Bible-believing Baptist, Southern Baptist, who at a very young age, my young age, explained to me about the lake of fire and all sorts of bad stuff that would happen. Now, I was pretty young. I don't know if I was all that impressionable because, you know, it didn't stick. Matter of fact, I used to think that my grandma, I loved her to death, but I used to think, Grandma, man, you got a screw loose someplace. Now, you didn't dare say that to her because although she was only 4'6", she would go out or make you go out and cut a switch off the lilac bush and then take it across your legs. So, you know, we all respected my grandma. But she was, you know, she was a religious fundamentalist. She used to tell me about that lake of fire. Yeah, damn. But the question I never asked her, and the question that's been kind of sitting in some part of my mind, some sack in my brain, why are these Christians so utterly and absolutely terrified of death? And they are. I mean, isn't death nothing more than a portal through which one passes to gaze on the glowing face of Jesus our Lord or God Himself? Oh, I can't turn your eyes away. Isn't heaven, the Christian heaven, isn't it bliss? Isn't it like a good sex, just an eternity-long orgasm? Isn't heaven the be-all, end-all? Isn't heaven filled with wondrous stuff? Why are these Christian fundamentalists so freaked out about death? They are terrified. Is it because they do not have a handle on their own so-called convictions? That's what I believe. I believe every single one of them is secretly a devil worshiper. I think Pat Robertson, James Dobson, Jerry Falwell, all these people, they have inverted crosses deep in the bowels of their houses where nobody can see. And underneath these inverted crosses, they have bowls of acid that bubbles up. And, they must be demonic. These must be Satanists. All of this stuff that they created, this demonology that they created, you know, if you don't believe we tell you the way we tell you to, your ass is going to suffer forever. Wow, man, that's not too cool a choice, is it? But I have noticed, and if anybody has the answer tonight, I sure would appreciate you sharing it with all 39 of our listeners, including the one in Tokyo, the one in Malaysia, and the one in Australia, and the one in New Zealand, and the one in England, and the one in France. Why are these Christians so utterly and basically and elementally terrified of death? I mean, if you have no religious theology, like me, death is a real big question mark, right? It's like, until you examine it from a purely physical level and say, well, guess what? It just is. There is no examination. It's just, you know, my life, whether it's 20 years long or 50 or 79 or 103, my life is just the halfway point in eternity, at least in my consciousness. All that passed before was eternity. All that's going to pass subsequent to me is eternity, right? Right? Another way. And I don't remember that first part, so how in the hell am I going to remember the second? Well, I'm not. There's no... But for a Christian, why, you know, what's the problem here? I want to see the face of Jesus. Kill me. Please kill me. You won't kill me? Okay. Let me get some horrible disease then and withhold medications from me because I want to be with Jesus. What? You say my EEG is flatlined? You say that I'm in a total vegetative state? Oh, thank you, Jesus. That means I get to go home. Huh? No. Jolt them with electricity and pump nutrients into their gut and keep them alive because deep down inside, we all know there ain't no heaven. There is no God. You are on your own. I don't know, man. I it's Friday night. This is as close as I get to church anymore, is talking about this kind of nonsense. But it's staggering to me how every single Christian I seem to know, and I don't know that many. I know people who profess the Christian faith, but they're just churchgoers. You know, they just slog along in the religion. I don't know what they're hoping for. I guess they're hoping, well, you know, it's just kind of like an investment. You know, you're kind of building some nest egg against a rainy day. You know, who knows? When I die, I certainly don't want to step into a yawning oven of hell. So I go to the Methodist Church over here, or the Baptist Church, or the Catholic Church, or the Unitarian. Well, no, that doesn't count. So most of the people who profess a belief in Christianity, not the teachings of Christ, but the teachings of Paul. Those people are just, I don't know, they're kind of weird to me. Even though they are my friends. No, they don't try to convert me. They have totally given up because I've said, you bring this stuff up and that's the end of a friendship. Not interested. Not interested. And all these Christian-themed sympathy cards talk about how your dearly departed loved ones now walk with God. Isn't that supposed to be a good thing? You loved her? Yes, you did, Mark, but Jesus loved her more. Jesus, she's with God now. She walks with God. Shouldn't true Christians celebrate death instead of fearing it? Now, I know I'm going to get some emails here from people who are going to say, man, have you got it wrong? We don't fear death. Not at all. But we don't believe that there should be intervention. We don't believe that you should cut short a life in the womb or cut short a life that's on life support. However, we do believe you should rip the guts out of somebody who has been convicted of capital crime. Kill them. Oh, hell yeah. And all the Muslims. And if you go to war, then it's different. You can kill and kill and kill and kill until your nose bleeds. But here, no. See, we are hypocrites. We are not pro-life. We are pro-birth, as that man Jerky said. We're simply pro-birth. After birth, screw it. We don't care. We care about feti and vegetables. And that be it. These people drive me crazy. See, for the third time, this first hour, I want to say how much I hate these people. And I'm just, you know, I'm just becoming redundant. But it's just terrible, isn't it? I mean, show me something in the Bible that talks about the issues that these hypocritical desecrators of Christ's body holds so near and dear to their hearts. You know, the attack on homosexuality, oh my God, that comes somewhere out of the Old Testament about not spilling your seed on the ground. To me, that means don't play with it too much, for God's sake.
A man shall not lie with another man the way he would lie with a woman.
Oh, okay. who's that?
And if your daughter disrespects her, take her to the town square and beat her brains out with a barrel stave. Spread the brains all over the ground at 3 minutes past noon and let the vultures eat them. Then you will satisfy myself, who art your God.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end.
The Flying Monkey Ride Blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
The end. No safety or surprise. The end. I'll never look into your eyes again.
We ought to just close the show down and play 2 hours of Jim Morrison music, and then everybody go kill themselves, right? No, it's not that bad. Every time I hear that song now, of course, I start to get images of Apocalypse Now. No way to avoid that. Dorothy is calling from Brooklyn, New York. Dorothy, this is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you.
I was listening to what you were saying previously,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I just have to say that this whole deal about them, about the legislators in Florida overturning the court ruling has really kind of put me into a panic, because I think that it's going to be a... you know, a fad in this country for the religious right to get their organizers together and everybody to phone in and bombard.
Well, that's exactly what the article in the Times said today.
That's what I read.
Right.
And I thought, if this is the new wave, and you know, and I think this is directly a result of the success of the recall in California too.
I think that's part of it, and also the corruption of our political system by the presidential race in Florida, and how that was just the will of the people was totally ignored and flushed down the toilet in the Supreme
Court.
Exactly. Supreme Court decided who was going to be president.
But then I thought that, boy, you know, when you get religion into it, when it's absolutely kind of, you know, on the front, removed from politics, and people think that they're being motivated by their religious values, it's really, really powerful.
And very scary.
And
that's when the blood starts to flow.
Exactly. And that's what made me start thinking, my God, maybe I should just, like, bail out of here. Move. Because, you know, when it gets into religion, it's so powerful, you know, and it's just so destructive. You know, I was reading something once.
Dorothy, let me put you on hold. I'll come back because this is very interesting. Stick around. I'll come right back. Quick break. We'll return.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Math
fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A mortar attack killed two American soldiers and wounded four others on Friday at an outpost north of Baghdad, and a third American died in a gun battle in the northern city of Mosul. The mortar attack occurred about noon at a 4th Infantry Division forward operating base near Samarra, 70 miles north of Baghdad. It was the second mortar attack against a 4th ID position in as many days. Late Thursday, 13 soldiers from the division were wounded when a mortar struck a hangar at the U.S. Camp Warhorse near Baqaba, 40 miles northeast of Baghdad. American troops in helicopters swooped down on the remote sheep-herding village of Habariya, Iraq, on September 10th and detained nearly all the men, one as old as 81, one as young as 13. A month after the raid, apparently aimed at preventing terrorists from slipping across the border from Saudi Arabia, only two of the 79 captives have been freed. The sweep, similar to those conducted in Afghanistan by U.S. Special Operations troops, came at a time when American officials are concerned that foreign fighters, including those loyal to Osama bin Laden, are crossing into Iraq to join the resistance against the U.S.-led occupation. The FBI has interviewed more than three dozen Bush administration officials, including political advisor Karl Rove and Press Secretary Scott McClellan, in its investigation into the leak of an undercover CIA officer's identity. The interviews have extended beyond the White House to other government agencies. The Defense and State Departments and the CIA itself are also part of the probe. The focus, however, remains on the White House, two law enforcement officials said, on condition of anonymity. While the initial interviews have yielded no major breaks, the FBI is satisfied that they are making progress and have not encountered any stalling tactics. So far, no grand jury subpoenas have been issued. More IE American Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
An Icelandic fishing captain known as the Iceman for his tough character grabbed a 660-pound shark with his bare hands as it swam in shallow water towards his crew, a witness said Thursday. The skipper of the trawler, Eric the Red, was watching his crew processing a catch when he saw the shark swimming towards the fish blood and guts and his men. He ran into the water, grabbed the shark by its tail, dragged it to dry land, and killed it with his knife. A journalist who knows the captain said the act was typical of the man. He's called the Iceman because he isn't scared of anything, he said. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship.
all thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Why did the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, fruitle doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about the tread on a tire. Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. A couple open lines here on a Friday night. We are chatting with Dorothy, who is calling from Brooklyn, New York. First time she's checked in. We were talking about the Christian Right and Terry Schiavo. Now, where were we, Dorothy?
Oh, hi, Mike. Yeah, I was just, I just wanted to say that I think that the, I lived here during 9/11, and I think that the Bush administration is using this Terry Schiavo, the tragedy of others, just as they used 9/11, to fulfill their filthy agenda. And
I think you're right. And there are also Republican politicians in the state of Florida who are using her death, her living death also.
Right. They and it's very scary about, how far they're going in doing this. I don't know what's wrong with the public. I don't know where I read this one thing. It's just, it might have been Toni Morrison or somebody who said the Republicans are about two things only, greed and God, in that order.
Yeah.
Because if greed doesn't get you what you want, you use God to spew the agenda to fill your pockets.
Yeah, you're familiar with that little book written by somebody here in Atlanta, The Prayer of Jabez, which borrows from some minor character in the Jewish Old Testament, has nothing to do with Christians, and turns it into almost a knuckle-dragging, tongue-hanging-out plea based around greed and the acquisition of things. And, you know, when that book came out, The Prayer of Jabez, I kept thinking, again, referring to my my grandmother, how she used to try to explain to me that what one gathered unto oneself in this life meant nothing. That possessions didn't get anywhere. You know, sort of the old thing, you can't take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And people who truly, to me, who have truly tried to emulate or follow the teachings of Jesus Christ have basically said the same thing. That there's, you know, acquiring things, that's stupid. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Live a decent life. Live a loving life. When you see someone naked, clothe him. When you see somebody hungry, feed her. When you see somebody sick, comfort that person. That's Christianity. What these thugs do is no more Christianity than it's just so as removed from Christianity as you can possibly.
They don't have a clue.
I hear you.
And you know, I know that you know, one of my early mentors, Thomas Merton, wrote that to be truly holy and to be a truly spiritual person is to learn how to be a human being.
Yeah, that's it exactly. Thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you, Mike.
I hope to hear from you again.
Thank you very much.
Right.
I enjoy your show, and you got a great voice.
Well, thanks, Dorothy.
Okay, bye.
Take care. very quickly here, and then back to your calls. Our Bakersfield, California Bureau Chief, Margie, said, hi, Mike and Kathy. Today I was listening to Randy Rhodes. Caller made a suggestion. So brilliant, I wanted to relay it to you. If you agree with my assessment, perhaps you might want to talk about it. Okay, well, there you go, Margie. What the caller was proposing is, since a W won't allow dissenters within 100 miles of him and pens are set up to house them, you know, the free speech zones, the caller suggested, why don't we protest Bush at high-profile trials? For example, the upcoming Kobe Bryant trial. Since the news folks don't seem to want to report what is really going on in our country, we should use their fascination with Kobe Bryant, Lacey Peterson, Terry Schiavo, and the rest. Wherever the hordes of media camp out is where the protesters should go and actually protest the media and this illegal administration. That's a good idea. That's sort of like the guy who shows up. I don't know. Is he has he been banned by most stadiums around the country? The guy that always shows up with the yellow banner that says John 3:16. You just want to go over and punch his lights out, right? He shows up everywhere. Somebody, I don't know. There must be 1,000 of him. John 3:16. And we all know John 3:16, right? That's the first thing we learned. All right, where are we? Oh, yeah, I've got... well, before we do that, Michael is calling from Phoenix. Hey, Michael, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. I followed up on the that excellent post that Jerky put on the forum there.
Yeah?
And I just was taken this week by the even more hypocrisy on the part of these allegedly pro-life people. They put a lot of legislative energy this week into saving Terry Schiavo, who is a shell. She ain't there. She ain't been there for a long time. And a lot of doctors who know this stuff say she ain't there. But Jeb and the legislature, they know better, I guess. And then our Congress was busy banning partial birth abortion, which, of course, we know happens, you know, on the street corners. Planned Parenthood's out there grabbing these near-term women and, you know, abducting them and
ripping their
fetuses out of them.
Yeah,
so they
had
to pass the law.
Yeah, I see that all the time. That's right. Yeah.
And if you try to talk to any of these people about how many innocent Iraqi civilians who had far more cause to hate Saddam Hussein than any of us Americans ever did, they don't even want to talk about it.
No, of course not.
They don't want to hear about thousands of
Iraqi dead. Yeah, yeah, dead civilians who, families who have been blown up, vaporized, turned into flaming balls of human flesh because of our armaments. They have nothing to do with supporting Saddam. They just want to live their lives. They just want to worship however they worship. They want to have food to eat and a house over their head and see their kids succeed. And we go over and kill them, butcher them, and slaughter them. I'm sick of it. I'm starting to hate my own country, Michael. I'm starting to hate my own country. That to me is awful. It's awful. If I were 20, it might be okay because that would give me enough time to recover, and I might be able to go live someplace else for 30 years and maybe gain some sort of removed appreciation for this country. But I'm at an age where if I leave, it's going to be permanent. And I can't believe that I, Mike Malloy, Toledo, Ohio, class of 1960, is sitting here saying I'm starting to hate my own country. For Christ's sake, I was a Boy Scout. I was a swimmer, an AAU swimmer. I had a paper route. I went to church and Sunday school. It's just incredible. It's incredible what these right-wing bastards have done to my state of mind, my frame of mind, not just the politicians, but these right-wing thugs and slugs and vermin that scream and shriek and howl on the airwaves and on the street corners, just corrupting and shredding and destroying this society. Shelby Lepre, who runs radiopower.org, pretty much every time she sends me an email, she tags off with the line, "I hate my country," and I know exactly what she's talking about. It's an awful situation.
Mike, about a year from now, we're going to wake up, and provided they don't steal it again, this SOB will be voted out, and we're going to feel like 10 tons has been lifted off our shoulders, and we're going to say to each other, how did we ever put up with this crap for 4 years?
I hope you're right.
I hope so, too. It's just amazing. It's to some extent, you have to get used to it, because otherwise you walk around all day just pissed off as hell.
I know.
Week after week, the rank hypocrisy. This isn't just Republicans that we disagree with. These people are, oh, my God, where do you begin? Where do you end?
I know.
And this whole pro-life thing, these people, again, they spend all this energy over nothing. And then there's always thousands of Iraqis who died, and they don't even want to talk about it. They just want to look the other way. And how do they call themselves pro-life? They are pro-hypocrisy. They're not pro-life. I'm just going to stop calling them that. I should have a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of these thugs are all for capital punishment. Not all of them, but a lot of them are for capital punishment. Kill them!
Be careful! You're going to throw your voice out there, Michael. Thanks for checking
in. Thanks, Michael.
All right, I appreciate your call. I certainly share that feeling. It's getting the point where I hate to go out into the world. Kathy and I spent the last couple of days building a raised garden in our backyard. You know where you put the garden timbers. Landscape timbers, you know, about 5 stacked high, and we put them together and got to use our power tools and hammers and nails and, you know, for next spring. It's not excruciatingly hard work, but you know, when you finish a 4 or 5 hour project like that, you know you've done something. And you know, when you do that with your spouse, there's always a little bitching going back and forth. Well, you moved it. Well, damn it, hold the thing straight. You know, that little thing that happens. And when you're all finished, you know, you look at it and go, wow, hey, that's pretty cool. And, then we had some errands to run. And it's like I didn't want to leave the house. Because I know if I get in the car, I've got 2 choices as far as radio stations are concerned. I can't listen to AM radio because it's just wall to wall. Here in Atlanta, 24 hours a day, wall to wall, just right-wing poison. It's just unbelievable. And if I go to the FM dial, it's just 70s music on this station and 80s. Jesus, how many times can you listen to REM? How many times you listen to Elton John? So what am I left with? 3 stations. The NPR affiliate here, WABE, Georgia State University, Album 88, and Georgia Tech, a radio station. Georgia Tech radio station plays stuff that seems like it was composed and put together on Arcturus or something. You know, it's just like way out there. I guess that's because it's an engineering school. Album 88, WRAS. They, you know, that's who I wind up listening to. But, you know, those are kids, the disc jockeys. So after they play a 30-cut set, you know, and you're looking for maybe some news. There ain't no news. There ain't no traffic. And you get these kids, you know, these 19-year-olds. Well, that record was by, let me see here. Oops, I dropped it. Damn. And, of course, NPR, our NPR affiliate, other than the couple of news shows I've mentioned, it's just like from, what is it, Kathy, 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, classical music. And they don't play the good stuff. You know, they play stuff, the classical music that, I don't know, should have been banned 300 years ago. Probably was. Oh, just bitch and complain, Malloy, for heaven's sake. We'll be right back. Politics and panic would invite.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, Froodle Doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, Kathy has asked me to tell you that it appears that Monday I am once again going to make an effort to go on one of these cable networks, CNN's Wolf Blitzer program, Monday around 12:30 Eastern Time. So if you want to laugh, tune in. Blitzer, the former U-boat commander, German U-boat commander, Wolf Blitzer, is on vacation. Is that it, Kathy? Somebody substituting for him? Okay. And this is on their Hot Topic segment or something. And who is the moronic right-winger? Someone named Phil Kent? Okay. We'll have to Google him and see what he's about, right? So if you want to, I don't know, if you want to tune in, that's this Monday coming, somewhere afternoon, around 12:30. Oh, and Nancy Skinner will be on in our this program, not Wolf Blitzer, in our second hour Monday night. So, all in all, just a thrilling Monday, wouldn't you say? Oh, God. Why am I doing this again? I really don't want to. Why are you making me do this?
Because I figure if you put yourself out there on television, then it makes it harder for them to kill you.
Okay. Jeremy is calling from State College, PA. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. Good luck on CNN there. You know,
yeah.
It's too bad they can't have you on by yourself like they would if you were Michael Savage or somebody else.
Yeah.
They have to have the balanced counterpart to go after you.
I don't mind quite so much going on CNN because I worked there twice. But still, I wish I could have gone on when Wolf Blitzer was there because, you know, we're not drinking buddies, but I knew him from working there when he was based in Atlanta before. Where's he at now, Kathy? New York, Washington, whatever. But it'd be great fun to see him again. And I just, you know, okay, big deal. Now, what you really called about?
I was just going to say that a couple minutes ago you were talking about people going and protesting those high-profile...
Since we're obsessed with trials in this country, that's where folks ought to show up with their anti-Bush posters.
Although I would agree with you and say it's a great idea, two things will happen, I'll predict.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, all that footage would end up on the cutting room floor, and B... they just wouldn't cover it. I mean, they would also make the local police that were there make the protesters move a couple blocks away where they're out of the way.
But I think what the emailer meant, and I've seen this done before. You don't go into the courtroom. In front of these courtrooms, you always see CNN or MSNBC or Fox or somebody and local news people. They do their what they call stand-ups, where the reporter goes live. A few moments ago in the courtroom here, the attorney for Kobe Bryant said, but, you know, and at that moment, once that camera goes on, and they always have a monitor there, and you know when it's on because you watch the reporter, and that's when you drift on camera behind him with a big sign that says, Bush sucks, you know, or, you know, Bush is a killer, or impeach the bastard, you know, something like that. And I think that's what the emailer meant. Was that Margie? Was that our Bakersfield? It was one of our bureau chiefs who sent that in. And what are they going to do? I mean, and you don't stand there. You just walk slowly through the camera and keep going.
Yeah, but then, of course, you know, the Brit Hume who would see it would make some kind of snide comment and derail it as being just some crazy liberal.
Well, that's
trying
true.
To get on TV.
That's true. But anybody who's watching Fox would not be impressed at all, although it might give them gas. You know, a Fox News channel who sees somebody walk across the frame saying with a sign that says Bush sucks while he's getting his pertinent information on the Kobe Bryant trial, you know, that Fox viewer might keel over dead with a heart attack and go visit Jesus. So that's not a bad thing.
Very true. I would hope it would work, but I just get a feeling the boys in blue would make sure that you were far enough away.
I hear that.
You would be irrelevant at that point.
I hear that. Jeremy, thanks for checking in, pal.
Sure. Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. Have a nice evening. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A shortage of oxygen could lead to a shortage of offspring for fish that live in polluted water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Some forms of water pollution rob the water of oxygen. That's hard on fish, and sometimes the shortage of oxygen will kill the fish outright. In other cases, the fish might survive, but the stress they endure could wipe them out over the course of generations. A new study reports that low oxygen can put so much stress on fish that they have problems reproducing. The research was published earlier this year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. One of the authors is Rudolph Wu, a biologist at the City University of Hong Kong. Wu studied two groups of carp in a laboratory setting. One group was exposed to low oxygen for up to 12 weeks. The reproductive success was 90% lower than the group raised under normal conditions. Wu says oxygen depletion lowered the fertility of the fish by affecting their endocrine systems. The technical term for this shortage of oxygen is hypoxia. Wu says hypoxia is a growing problem in aquatic environments around the world.
And this has a huge impact on the fish. And so there's a very good reason to believe under hypoxia, all this population will decrease tremendously. And in fact, that's happening in a lot of aquatic systems over the world.
Oxygen depletion is often a consequence of water pollution by fertilizer and other organic waste. Wu says the low oxygen levels he used in his experiments were similar to conditions in some waters that have suffered this kind of pollution. Wu is continuing his research with other species of freshwater and saltwater fish. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. What? Who is this? Is this our military attaché, Roger, from Augusta, Georgia?
Mike, that was supposed to be an undisclosed location. Hell, if they can do it, why can't we?
Roger! Oh, my God, I thought you died and went to Savannah.
No. Augusta's still my home. Love it here. Good place. Listen, I have a little bit of a problem that you can help me out. AOL kicked me off the net last night.
Why'd they do
the
that?
The bastards. I keep putting out my... what really happened was Carolyn over at Make Them Accountable sent a hilarious David Pobden article over yesterday. And I decided that needed vast dissemination.
Yeah.
So I forwarded the doggone thing, and AOL about 2 minutes later... Well, first of all...
Oh, they accused you of spamming.
Well, the problem, I think, really occurred was I sent it to a buddy of mine who's in the military at Fort Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Play golf with the guy regular. He's about to be converted Russia-holic because he's realized that Russia is on drugs.
Right.
But at any rate, I sent it to him, and I got a note back from the military postmaster out there saying that contained hate language and therefore would not be allowed to be disseminated to a military base.
What?
Yep.
Well, what about General Boykin?
It gets just a little bit worse.
Okay. All right.
Then the next thing I wrote them back a little message telling them that I had served 20 years in the Army and was a disabled veteran and that they could kiss my...
Ass.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is late night, isn't it?
Right.
They could kiss my ass and that the little twit that sent that message, you know, probably was in diapers when I was in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whatever happened to freedom of speech in this country? And while the David Pobden article itself was nothing more than pure satire, it was hilarious. All Republicans are gay. We know that now.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah. And Boykin, gee whiz. Now, there's anti-Americanism at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
That is as anti-American as it gets.
I've thought about some of our ex-GIs when that story broke. Mark out in Iowa and you and Joe in Texas and... who is it?
Mike, we're in a whole new era here. I'll tell you, my 20 years in the military, it was never evidenced that religion had to be a primary thing. And, you know, I talk to a lot of the young soldiers here. I'm in the car business here, and
right.
A lot of them come in to try to buy a car, you know, and that type of thing. It's a huge military town here in Augusta.
Oh, sure.
And I get exposed to the young military guys. And I got to tell you, these guys walk in, and they're wearing crosses. You know, on their uniforms. Now, in my day, that was not permitted.
Right, right.
You know, there is something going on with the military that does scare me. And you know, that's, you know, the Napoleon deal, pay the troops and fear nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not paying them very well, but then again, it just seems like that there is a whole right-wing subculture in the military itself.
Yeah, this
these guys got guns.
This Christian right wing.
Exactly.
I know. It is as you know from all the time you spent in the military, there's also another subculture in there is what out on the real world would be considered a skinhead culture or a KKK culture that has been pretty much corralled now. It's not cool to be a racist.
Don't kid yourself. You still hear the N-word every now
right.
and then.
Right. It's still there. But if you're not careful, you know, some sergeant or some PFC or some E-4, E-5 is going to walk up to you, black guy, and punch your lights out. So,
yeah, well, rightly so.
Exactly.
He'll get court-martialed for it.
Well, not if they're the same rank. As long as one's not a commissioned officer, it's okay.
You know, one of the scariest instances, and that works both ways, though, Mike. I got to be real honest about that.
Sure.
In '69, a little town of Lai Kae, Vietnam, and we had a young black fella who liked heroin. And as a consequence, he was a danger to everybody, not just himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to walk by a little instance there in an opening in the Grove there, and there were about four or five black guys just wailing the tar out of this guy.
Beating him
and
up.
And, of course,
yeah.
As an NCO, I went over to put a stop to it, and about two other black NCOs got in my face and said, "We're taking care of this. You go away."
Yeah, I hear that.
it goes where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I haven't had a chance to listen to you guys, and it I have to commend you. I tuned in tonight simply because, you know, I just wanted to get on the air and vent a little bit about AOL, the right wing fascist bastards.
Right.
And then cut me off. Well, you know, they've given me an opportunity just to learn more. I was listening to this whole thing about Chauvel, you know, and I got to say, I've read the news on it. I can't say that I'm one way or the other on that deal. What I am is what the Florida legislature has done.
Mm-hmm.
This is a direct violation of the separation of church, separation of powers.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
This is, you know, and of course, that's not the first time for that bunch down there. You know, if you remember in the 2000 fiasco, that bunch had declared if they had recounted the votes and found that Gore had won, they were going to get together and send their own bunch of delegates up to the thing anyway. You know,
yeah,
so
the electoral
count. Electoral
college.
Doesn't matter
what
they would.
Right.
That's a reactionary bunch if ever there was one.
Mm-hmm. Well, this idea of responding to these
a judicial decisions,
and trying to overturn it by legislative action. Obviously, now Schiavo's husband already has filed a lawsuit, I guess seeking an injunction, and he will get it, and then the tube will be taken out, and then somebody will get a restraining order against the injunction, and the tube will be put back in. I mean,
it's going to have to go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
It's a real abomination.
And, you know, this is where the U.S. Supreme Court is going to have to find out are we going to allow a legislative branch to overrule us, you know? And you know, it's the damnedest thing about this is for years the right has claimed that the court is reactionary, making their own rules, and now, you know, it's the left, and we're having to say that they're the same damn thing. So where does the truth lie?
Well, these right wingers in Florida said that they kept up the old song that the courts were trying to legislate, and thank God you could go back to the legislature and get laws passed to try to restore that wonderful balance of power between the three branches of government. I hate these people, Roger, because they totally corrupt language. Up is down, black is white, in is out, left is right. They've destroyed language.
The latest tact is that they can't do any damn thing wrong. I mean wrong in a sense of this and me. They can't do a damn thing right. You know, they've got the country in such a tizzy, and we're in an illegal war. Three more today. You know, I mean, I come home every night, and then there's another, at least one dead, if not two or three.
I know.
And then look at the economic fiasco that we're in. But the neat thing is now what they're claiming is, all right, well, maybe there's problems, but the Democrats don't have any answers. All they want to do is bitch about the problems.
Yeah.
And then I hear Jim Hightower here just a minute ago, and my God, I need to go visit that little website. That was a grand idea.
Hightower's great.
Isn't Hightower good?
Yeah, he really is.
That's the kind of positive thing I think that we as Democrats or liberals or whatever we want to do, progressive, whatever we want to call ourselves, and anything but fascists. This is the type of thing that we need to do. We need to come with positive ideas instead of just jumping on the right. It's good fun, and I enjoy it just as much as you do, but every once in a while we need to say, well, all right, this is wrong. This is what we're going to do, or this is what should be done.
Well, I hear that, and that's something that you and Jim Hightower need to do. Me, I'm just...
come on, Mike. You've got to put the power out
no,
there.
No, I'm just...
I'm
just in the gutter, Street Fighter.
Sarge,
I respect what you're saying. I
too
really
much
do.
Intelligence there, Grandpa.
No. No, I do not have any longer the hold on, burping up some salmon I had earlier. Oh, that feels better. I just no longer have the long nerve endings, Roger, to do this. I mean, they're frayed. I feel like somebody has been beating on me for about the past since about 1994, just whipping my ass raw. And I have tried, I swear, I've tried to be positive, to be up-tempo, and I figure, look, In every operation, you know, you've got the point man, then you have the people that come through, and then you have the people come through after the troops come through to try to repair the damage, clean things up, put bandages on everybody's face, make it all nice, explain that we really didn't mean it, and we're all going to be friends again. I'm somewhere up in that front group. And
here's the thing about it, though, Mike, interesting little thing I was reading today. You know, us baby boomers, you and I, are eventually going to retire, and I don't care how damn productive the American worker becomes. What's replacing us is your kids, my kids.
Right.
I've got five of them.
Right. So do I.
Productive little bastards I am. two of them are in college, by the way, and hopefully they're going to become productive.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, but there's a lot less of those guys than there are of us.
That's true.
And with the economy in such a mess it is and so much of a debt being passed on, how in the hell are they going to pay for this, let alone can they?
Well, the idea is to kill Social Security. That's what these thugs are about.
That's you and I. You know. Well, of course, thank God I'm in a position that I don't depend on Social Security, but most people are not.
I know.
And then you see how much of their life savings was wiped away by the Enrons of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And no wonder we get mad.
Well, it's no wonder that there is not a second revolution going on in this country right now. That's the part.
Well, you know, thank God for the Second Amendment, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, you got that right. You got that right, Roger.
Yeah, now call me a commie, you son.
Yeah, right. I know. I've made it very clear from day one I'm a liberal with a gun with several of them, and I hate it. I wish I lived in a society where it wasn't necessary, but especially in a society where my government now is definitely a threat. To my well-being, I will take the Jeffersonian stance that the tree of liberty has to be nurtured with the blood of tyrants and patriots every once in a while. And if the time comes...
Let me give a closing parting shot, because I know there's others that want to get on here. And that is, remember that in 1776, the shot that was fired, that was heard around the world, was fired by right-wing bastards upon a bunch of liberals with guns.
That's very true.
And they were trying to take their guns away. That's what that was all about.
That's very true. That's very true.
It all comes around, Mike. It all comes around. Hopefully, we won't have to use the guns again.
And don't forget, I'm sure you know this, the first man to die in the American Revolution was a black man named Crispus Attucks.
Yes, he was. Of course, now the British killed him.
Yeah, the British killed him. But you know, how many white people? I know you know it. And
now the guy that defended the British in the trial, and when this man, this country was, you know, that was Sam Adams.
That's true.
Yeah.
And what do we do now? We have a beer named after him.
There you go. Well, we do some things right.
We do indeed. Thanks, Roger.
Good to hear.
Hey, listen, I hope you call in again. This program's military attaché, and sometimes we're lost in here. Joe in Texas does a good job covering for you. Mark in Iowa sends me emails. What's the man's name?
What's your latest email address?
Sean in Augusta. I've got, well, that's the name he uses. He's active military. Got a guy out in Silverdale, Washington. Have a couple more, but man, you got to call in once in a while. You're Sarge, you're the military attaché.
I'm the guy, man. What is your latest email hookup there, buddy?
It's the same, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net.
Okay, good. Listen, can I give mine out to some of the guys who want to get to me?
Absolutely, go ahead. It's
I don't hide. Now, just like you, I use my name, Roger P. Fortier at Comcast.net.
Yeah, I got your email that said you had a new one.
Read it out, buddy.
FORTIER@Comcast.net.
And just as mean as a snake. Almost as bad as that guy. Whoa, snippet. Did you hear that on the news about that guy, Eric the Red?
What happened?
On your newscast here.
I was not listening.
Holy cow, this guy's an Icelandic fisher. He's on a boat, and they got a bunch of fish coming in.
Yeah.
And he notices there's about a 6-foot shark in there. This guy has a reputation to be as mean as a snake.
Yeah.
He jumps over the side of the boat, grabs this shark by the tail. Now, 6-foot of shark, pulls the damn thing ashore, and killed him with his knife.
Yeah.
And they had shark steak for dinner, of course. And I thought to myself, Jesus, I hope that guy's a Democrat.
Thanks, Roger.
Take care, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Man, we haven't heard from Roger in six forevers. Sergeant Roger. Time for a break? No, it isn't? Okay. Well, that's good. Dee is calling from Omaha, our bureau chief out there. Hey, Dee.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Well, this is great. This is what I love to hear is more anger, you know. Just anger plus solutions equals change.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, okay.
Definitely,
yeah.
You know. And I just wanted to just rush through some things. Oh, there's that word again, rush. No. But, there was something you were talking to the military attaché just before this.
Roger, uh-huh.
Roger, and, you know, I mean, I really do think that if Bush does somehow get elected next year,
mm-hmm.
There really could be a move toward impeachment if this Valerie Plame investigation becomes bigger. There just may be so much anger, talking about anger, from the impoverished, the unemployed, the military who know they've been taken advantage of, so many of them now, you know, that there may be a push, you know, and maybe even the Republicans will turn on him, you know.
I would like to agree with that. What the reason I hesitate is the outing of Valerie Plame. I don't think means a diddly squat to the Republican members of the House. And if the Democrats are in control of the House, then perhaps an impeachment hearing could begin. But with Republicans in control, I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there are enough Republicans who care about the former ambassador or his wife. These Republicans are evil, they're venal, they're filthy, they're disgusting, and no matter what were to happen, I don't know what it would take for them to say, you know, like real Republicans did back during the Nixon administration, and go to Nixon and say, Dick, we're going to impeach your ass, and you're going to be found guilty in the Senate. It's time for you to go. Now, Republicans did that, not Democrats, but those kind of Republicans are dead. They don't exist anymore. So for today's Republicans to go to the Oval Office and say, to whom? Who do they say it to? They say it to Karl Rove? George Bush is a jackass. He wouldn't know impeachment. Or, well, I didn't do anything with Monica. Why are you going to impeach me? You know, he associates the word with Clinton's sexcapade. So who are they going to talk to? Karl Rove? Dick Cheney? Tom DeLay? You know, nobody. So I'd like to share your enthusiasm that if this thug gets elected in 2004, that there would be a move to remove him from office. But I think the Republicans, and it's a corrupt party of demons, I think they would be nothing but jubilant to see this this little punk reelected. That's why I say keep your powder dry. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I also wanted to say one other thing about how I was just listening to Michael Moore yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I've been listening to a lot of people, actually. William Rivers Pitt from Truth Out, he gave an amazing speech. You heard that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, God, wow, I didn't know he was so full of fire. That's great.
Oh, he is. He's a good friend. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back to you. We got to take a quick break here. Yeah, Will Pitt and Matthew, our Boston Bureau chief, and Kathy and I, a whole bunch of people, Ben Birch, we all got together, and Ben's wife, Katie, all got together at the first big demonstration and marched until we dropped.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Hey, look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Prepare to be astonished.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Ta-da!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speech Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
The Mike Malloy Show.
An interview with Georgian Pickles from the current issue of Ladies Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run your tack, we need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my t-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're talking with Dee, who is our Omaha, Nebraska bureau chief. Dee, regarding Will Pitt, have you seen his latest piece, the memo to the CIA?
No, I haven't.
Okay, go to truthout.org. And it's out. It was posted a little bit earlier today. So check it out. An excellent piece by Will Pitt. He's a good writer. Very good writer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll go there. And also, I will email you something. An open letter from John Mellencamp.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it. Oh,
okay, you've seen that. Okay,
yeah. I saw the one on Yahoo. Yahoo carried it with their news service. And good for John Mellencamp. More of these, especially the singers, like Bruce Springsteen has, and Mellencamp has, and so many of these singers, rock stars, so-called, they just need to kick this administration's ass up around its shoulders. Somebody's got to. The so-called religious leaders aren't. The politicians aren't. The Democratic politicians aren't. Nobody is. So, you know, sometimes it's the artists who have to lead the revolution.
Oh, definitely, yeah. So. And speaking of artists, one last thing. Michael Moore, he did I don't know if I heard this from him, but in his speech yesterday, he said something about how Bush hates our troops. And I remember there being a statistic that I wanted to throw out there to you, and I don't think it was in his speech, but I know I read it or heard it somewhere else. And this totally, you know, comports with the whole Bush hitting our troops concept.
Right.
You know how many funerals? This galls me. You know how many funerals?
None.
Bush has, Oh, you know that.
Not one funeral, not one memorial service. He hates soldiers. That's why he fled like the cowardly bastard he is when it was his turn. Hey, thanks, Dee.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Have a nice evening. I appreciate you checking in. Scott's calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I want you to know that I'm out there batting for you, man.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I turned on three new people to your show.
And all right.
The IE network in general.
Well, thank you.
And, hey, hang with that garden, man. That is a powerful deal. I had a great experience with doing compost and
right.
working it in, you know, because the soil was kind of bad.
Yeah, well, we've done it before. We couldn't do it in Chicago because we lived in a six flat. We lived up on the third floor.
And yeah, you know, sometimes it's conducive, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, but it was fun to build it. And, yeah, we're going to grow tomatoes the size of cantaloupes. Hey, listen, let me put you on hold. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A mortar attack killed two American soldiers and wounded four others on Friday at an outpost north of Baghdad, and a third American died in a gun battle in the northern city of Mosul. The mortar attack occurred about noon at a 4th Infantry Division forward operating base near Samarra, 70 miles north of Baghdad. It was the second mortar attack against a 4th ID position in as many days. Late Thursday, 13 soldiers from the division were wounded when a mortar struck a hangar at the U.S. Camp Warhorse near Baqaba, 40 miles northeast of Baghdad. The FBI has interviewed more than three dozen Bush administration officials, including political advisor Karl Rove and Press Secretary Scott McClellan, in its investigation into the leak of an undercover CIA officer's identity. The interviews have extended beyond the White House to other government agencies. The Defense and State Departments and the CIA itself are also part of the probe. The focus, however, remains on the White House, two law enforcement officials said, on condition of anonymity. While the initial interviews have yielded no major breaks, the FBI is satisfied that they are making progress and have not encountered any stalling tactics. So far, no grand jury subpoenas have been issued. American troops in helicopters swooped down on the remote sheep-herding village of Habariya, Iraq, on September 10th and detained nearly all the men, one as old as 81, one as young as 13. A month after the raid, apparently aimed at preventing terrorists from slipping across the border from Saudi Arabia, only two of the 79 captives have been freed. The sweep, similar to those conducted in Afghanistan by U.S. Special Operations troops, came at a time when American officials are concerned that foreign fighters, including those loyal to Osama bin Laden, are crossing into Iraq to join the resistance against the U.S.-led occupation. More IE America Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
From condoms to coffees, a tidal wave of trademark applications using shock and awe in their names is hitting the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. 7 months after the most overused cliche of the Iraq War entered the American jargon, a patent office official said on Thursday it had received shock and awe applications for golf clubs, pesticides, dietary supplements, video games, salsa, energy drinks, yo-yos, lingerie, Bloody Mary mix, and infant action crib toys. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frootle doodle, cry the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is a number. All of a sudden, we have 4 open lines, so join us. Right now, we're talking with Scott in Santa Fe, who has been turning people on in Santa Fe to the program. Thank you, thank you. Where were we?
Hey, well, you know, we were talking about your plants.
Oh, that's right,
super
the garden.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, super tomatoes and bell peppers.
That's
of
great. Oh, man, those are good.
Bell peppers,
you know,
the size
anything
of small
you grow
cars.
Out of your own garden tastes like nothing you'd get in the store.
That's true. We had some cucumbers this year until the deer got our tomatoes,
oh, yeah,
and they're still green. And the cucumbers were like, oh, they were so good.
Oh, yeah.
So that's well, that's the reason for the raised garden this next year. We're going to we've put in the timbers, and then we're going to put chicken wire over it just to try to keep.
You're going to make it bulletproof.
Yeah. Well, we've got to. We've got what do
yeah.
we got? We got raccoons, possum, deer.
Oh God. Yeah. Well, yeah. You live in the east.
Rabbits.
Yeah, I live in Santa Fe.
Yeah. Wildcats. All kinds of things.
Yeah.
Out there.
Well, you know, out here it's easy to turn people on because people are, you know, to what where you guys are coming from, because people, you know, if they don't already know, they're looking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's easy. All you have to do is get in conversation with somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah,
just waiting in line at the grocery store.
That's right.
Fine.
Yeah.
But one other thing I'd like to mention, if it's cool, earlier in the week I turned you on to and your listeners to Jonathan Neal's book, A People's History of the Vietnam War.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the context of that conversation, I thought, made it sound like maybe I should add a caveat or maybe even an apology to any vets, because the last thing I want to do is offend. I've had so many Vietnam vets who, you know, in my opinion, well, they're good as gold. I mean, they were the first ones who opened my mind to what was mm-hmm. going on over there, because they actually knew they'd been there.
That's right.
And I was just too young to go, so, you know, they looked after me like one of their younger brothers, and I've never forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
That whole story about spitting on vets, that was a lie made up by the right.
Sure it was.
And, you know, I never did that, and I don't know anyone who would even think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that all of the stuff that went on over there that should not have, that was not the vets' fault. They were victims of that. That came from the top down.
Yeah, there's two books. I'll add two to the reading list. The Things They Carried, and I'm drawing a blank on the guy who wrote it. Somebody will email me. The Things They Carried, I read that about 20 years ago. It's just an astonishing book. And the other one is A Bright Shining Lie.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
So there have been several just mind-bending, revelatory books written about Vietnam.
Yeah, you know, and I love it when good old Joe calls from, what is it, Cypress Springs?
Mm-hmm.
That guy has a heart of gold. I would not want to leave any of these guys offended. They have been like older brothers to me,
right?
Ever since then, mm-hmm. And you know, I just want to set the record straight.
Okay, not that that was necessarily necessary, but I'm glad you did, Scott. And I think most of the vets, especially Vietnam era vets and combat vets from Vietnam, who listen to this program would understand on your phone call what you were talking about.
Okay, well, I'll leave it at that.
All right, thanks Scott.
Mike.
All right, you have a nice evening and a good weekend. Somebody will email to me. The Things They Carried, they being the guys who were in combat in Vietnam. I'm just drawing a blank on the author's name. This Saturday, tomorrow, I've gotten several emails, nothing specific, but just a reminder of the anti-war activities that are planned for this weekend. 168 cities have anti-war in this country. Anti-war demonstrations, pro-peace, pro-military in the sense of bring our guys home. They have no business being pushed into Bush's meat grinder for his oil friends. All over the country, the two largest ones are going to be, obviously, once again, San Francisco and New York City. I'm sorry, Washington, D.C. and San Francisco. But whatever the event is in your area, and they are legion this weekend, if the spirit moves you to attend, please do so. Kathy and I here in Atlanta are going to do our part again, get the signs out, the signs that say things like visualize a special prosecutor. What's the other one, Kathy? Visualize a special prosecutor and, I liked that one. That was, Kathy came up with that one. Only the reference was to impeaching the bastard. So anyway, this weekend, tomorrow, wherever you are, our good friend Peter Werby, former IE America radio program host, a good friend of ours, who still has a program on Sunday nights. Is that right, Kathy, on a Detroit station, the call letters for which I'm drawing a complete blank. But Peter's already there. He's in D.C., and bless his heart. Fred is calling from Santa Fe. Fred, welcome to... Oh, this is your first time calling.
Yes, it is. Well, is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Mike, this is Fred in Santa Fe, and I'm very pleased to hear your program. I think it's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And what I'm hearing you say is that the only way to get rid of these Republican monsters is not to try to understand them, but to kick their ass and expose them for the venal bastards that they are.
Is this Fred Rogers?
Yes, it is. I come from beyond the veil, Mike, to congratulate you.
Well, Fred, Mr. Rogers, God forbid I should call you by your first name.
It's okay. We don't care anymore about that kind of thing.
You don't. Well, I just have to tell you, when I was your program started, of course, I was no longer a child, and I used to watch my kids enjoy your program, and I thought it was really nice. But I've got to ask you, did you and Mr. Green Jeans have something going on? Let's say it's okay if you did or didn't. I don't care.
I'm not ashamed of anything I have done in my life.
Right.
But now that I have a larger perspective, as you may say, from being, you know, a little farther up beyond the earthly plane, I particularly appreciate the work that you do.
Well, thank you.
As I say, exposing these individuals for their real nature.
Right.
And we don't think that balance is really what's required, but mainly a sense of outrage would be most appropriate.
But you know, that's funny coming from you, because in your days when you were alive and did your program, you never promulgated or suggested outrage.
Well, you don't really know what I was thinking deep inside, Mike.
Oh, well, that's...
Even then, I could see the truth.
Well, that's very true. Maybe that's why I had a weird thought that maybe Mr. Green Jeans was just kind of floating around there, when in fact he was just trying to stay the hell away from you, because he might have known your inner thoughts. What's it like where you are now? I don't believe in any of the nonsense.
It's fine. We have no Republicans in heaven, as you may have heard, Fred. I mean, Mike.
No, I'm Mike. You're Fred.
Right.
Yeah.
That gets a little confusing.
I'll bet it does. I'll bet when you're in the afterlife, everything gets a little bit off kilter, right?
It's fine.
Do they have cardigans where you are?
I got to bring my cardigan.
Yeah. How about do you wash them by hand or have them dry cleaned or what?
We have people here to take care of that. The immigrants.
Yeah. And your puppets.
The puppets? Are you thinking of that other program for the children?
No.
Or did I have puppets? I don't really remember anymore.
You don't remember? King Friday.
I don't remember all the details anymore.
I'm sorry, Mr. Rogers. I understand how, you know, totally losing your mind, so to speak, would be one of the effects of going through the veil. Let me ask you this. Do you still talk with Doug Steffen on his program?
What I hear him say is that there is a sense of community, and that's his thing. That's okay.
Yeah.
But he's not Mike Malloy.
No. He'll
never be Mike Malloy.
No, he's not. But
Mike was gifted with a sense of outrage and an acid tongue, which he puts to good use, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I better call you Mr. Rogers. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you calling.
Well, we wanted to let you know that we appreciate you, Mike.
Well, that's good. I hope everything's warm and cozy where you are.
It's fine. fine. God bless you. We'll see you here within, you know, before too long, too many years.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And you'll never go down the drain, right? No, you don't know what I mean.
No, I don't. But God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
You take care. You have a nice, I don't know, evening, eternity, what? What do you say? Afterlife, is
it's
that what you say?
A beautiful day in this neighborhood. A beautiful day for a man.
That's kind of scary. So take that, Doug Steffen. Oh, my God. You never know who's going to call this program. Alex is calling from Atlanta. This is Alex's first time calling, right?
Long time, first time.
Well, welcome aboard, Alex.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great.
I had a question for you about tone.
I'll try to answer.
Well, tone of argument. One of the first things Al Franken discussed in his book, his most recent book, was about how Ann Coulter had spoken several times about how political discourse and debate in the country is insufferable. And, you know, there's this kind of combative tone to it. Now, I'm probably a little younger than most of your audience, but my question is that when you refer to Limbaugh and Bush and, you know, the rest of the conservative right as, you know, monsters and evil, don't you think that undermines the, you know, the liberal arguments a little bit?
Oh, no, not at all. As a matter of fact, I don't know why the handful of liberals who are still working in media, whether it's print, on television, radio, aren't kicking ass and taking names every day. Look, people like Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, these are murderous sons of bitches who deserve to be run out of the country. They are anti-American. They are filled with corruption and black bile. When they pee, they ooze. The pee is black and it stinks. I mean, these people are demons. So, and I have spent the past 10 years having my ears assaulted with their lies, their filth, their degeneracy, their sexual deviancy, and by that I mean having sex with their husbands and wives. I can't even imagine that. You know, would you prefer I be like Alan Combs?
No, I don't. But again, you know.
I don't think anything I say. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back. Nothing I say takes away from the essential message. For me to come on this program and be milk toasty or not respond with bigger fire than they put out, I couldn't live with myself. Let me be clear on this, Alex. I hate these bastards. This is my way of fighting them. They disgust me. They are contemptible. They've destroyed my country. I'll talk to you right after the break. Stick around.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling smarty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Show. Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You hate
why not
me?
Why not something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 24 past the hour. We're talking with Alex in Atlanta, who I think you're suggesting that my style is off-putting for real liberals.
No, I don't think it's off-putting, but again, your promo kind of spoke to that. When you're fighting the kind of rhetoric that comes out from the right, I'm not necessarily sure that fighting fire with fire is effective. The point of a show like yours is to bring more people into the fold, almost like a minister.
Oh, no. Wait. Let me stop you right there, because if that's your impression of what motivates me to do this program, then I need to correct you. I am not a Limbaugh of the left, even though a piece in Salon magazine tried to suggest that. I don't want to bring anyone into any fold. As a matter of fact, if there are any folds to be brought into, I'd like for folks to bring me in. I'm a truth seeker. I'm a wanderer. I have no idea half the time what I'm doing. But here's what I do know. I know what pisses me off. I know that my country is being destroyed. I'm not looking for followers, Alex. I remember what Ram Dass said. In order to be In order to find a perfect guru or a perfect leader, you got to be willing to be a perfect follower. I'm not looking for that at all. I'm not expecting to bring anybody into the fold. I'm not looking to convince anybody to think a certain way. I am here to vent rage and anger. That's my sole function.
Right.
And anyone who joins this program on any level is here for the same reason, to vent rage and anger and contempt and disgust. This is not a group of people who get together to sing Kumbaya. This is a group of people who get together to let out what they cannot let out, whether they're in the laundromat, listening to the radio, at work, in church, in school. They dare not, because if they vent in places of public discourse, they are immediately labeled as anti-American or traitors. I hate what has become of this country, and my job is to come
come on here 3 hours a day, vomit up my own rage, and allow other people to do the same if they're so inclined. I am not Alan Combs. I am not Rush Limbaugh.
Well, I'm not fond of the country and its present administration either. And again, I misspoke when I said that you were trying to bring people into the fold. What I mean is that what's so great about a show like yours is it does provide discourse, particularly to a group, the left, that isn't very well represented in the media. And again, I'm not trying to bring people into the fold, but it's, for example, when I'm speaking with my classmates, I think the point of a discourse like yours and like your view, your listeners, is that you're not trying to bring people in the fold so much as to convince them that our position is correct. And I think you do that with, without invectives like calling people monsters.
Okay, again, Alex, I'm not seeking to teach anybody anything. I've said so many times over my 14-year radio career, if you're a truth seeker, welcome aboard. If you are looking for me to show you the key to a certain door, go away. I don't expect people to listen to this program to get ideas. I expect that the people that come to this program already have their own ideas. And that's what we're about. So I think, with all due respect to you, I think you are misunderstanding what I'm about and what this program's about and what my callers are about.
Right.
I am not here. Now, the type of programming you want to hear is on this network. It's on the IE America Radio Network. Tom Hartman, who's on every
show.
Yeah, he's on every day from noon to three. And bless his heart, he does an entirely different sort of program, although he and I share the same basic political philosophy.
Right.
So listen to both. This program is one filled with rage, hatred, and anger. His is filled with peace, love, and understanding. And
I enjoy the rage and anger.
Right.
But
hey, listen, I got a boogie.
All right, man.
Thanks. Call again, Alex.
I will do.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in.
I know all around no words to say, with attitude and no direction. I waste my time thinking I'm the next one to make a difference, to make a change, to make some sense and to rearrange. Rearrange the way you think, hesitate, lose control and you will sink. Think fast, think for yourself. Don't let the world be your own hell because it is so. It's so full of greed because it is so. It's so. So much need for independence, solidarity, unity and prosperity.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A shortage of oxygen could lead to a shortage of offspring for fish that live in polluted water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Some forms of water pollution rob the water of oxygen. That's hard on fish, and sometimes the shortage of oxygen will kill the fish outright. In other cases, the fish might survive, but the stress they endure could wipe them out over the course of generations. A new study reports that low oxygen can put so much stress on fish that they have problems reproducing. The research was published earlier this year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. One of the authors is Rudolph Wu, a biologist at the City University of Hong Kong. Wu studied two groups of carp in a laboratory setting. One group was exposed to low oxygen for up to 12 weeks. The reproductive success was 90% lower than the group raised under normal conditions. Wu says oxygen depletion lowered the fertility of the fish by affecting their endocrine systems. The technical term for this shortage of oxygen is hypoxia. Wu says hypoxia is a growing problem in aquatic environments around the world.
And this has a huge impact on the fish. And so there's a very good reason to believe under hypoxia, all this population will decrease tremendously. And in fact, that's happening in a lot of aquatic systems over the world.
Oxygen depletion is often a consequence of water pollution by fertilizer and other organic waste. Wu says the low oxygen levels he used in his experiments were similar to conditions in some waters that have suffered this kind of pollution. Wu is continuing his research with other species of freshwater and saltwater fish. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Hey, I've got a good idea. If you are boycotting NPR during their nationwide fundraiser right now because of the O'Reilly nonsense, send the money to WhiteRoseSociety.org. They're holding a fundraiser, too. Ben, our Elgin, Illinois bureau chief there, archives this program, Tom Hartman's, Randy Rhodes, Enid Goldstein's, and Peter Werby's, and other progressive shows. And the only money he gets is through contributions. And this is not how he makes his living. You know, he's a victim of the kind of stuff we were talking about last night, about the thievery of high-tech jobs in this country. Ben is so overqualified. Jesus, I don't think he's ever going to get a job. Do you, Kathy? But that's not his gig, is not doing this website, WhiteRoseSociety.org. He does that in his spare time. So if you got a few bucks, send it to, go to WhiteRoseSociety.org. He's got a way you can send him $5, $10, $15, $2, 50 cents, whatever. But again, if you are if you're withholding whatever donation or part of whatever donation you were going to make to NPR because of the O'Reilly Terry Gross thing, send it to Ben. If you have any left over, send it to Shelby at radiopower.org. See, liberals are always begging for money, aren't we? Damn. Thanks to everybody who sent in Tim O'Brien is the one who wrote the things they carried. There were about eight of you sent in. Thank you. The other book that Tim O'Brien wrote about the Vietnam War that and I had forgotten the title, Going After Cacciato. Cacciato is a soldier, and he disappears. And they decide to, you know, a couple of members of the platoon are assigned to go find him. And it's a very hallucinatory, it's fiction, but it's an astonishing book, Going After Cacciato. O'Brien wrote another one. I'm drawing a blank on that, too. Some other good books. This comes from Jerry in Fresno. Some other good books are A Rumor of War by Phil Caputo. That's a good one. Dispatches, of course, which is the sine qua non of Vietnam War books. Michael Herr wrote that. Fire in the Lake by Francis Fitzgerald is another one. And Once a Warrior King by David Duncan. These are astonishingly well-written books. But Tim O'Brien, who wrote The Things They Carried, from their weapons to their peace symbols and amulets and crosses, but Going After Cacciato, if you I've never been able to figure out why that one was not turned into a film. They ought to give that to Francis Coppola. Going After Cacciato. So thanks to everybody who sent in the information on Tim O'Brien. Tim O'Brien was the author. There was another story that really caught my eye. I've got a stack of them, but this one this is from Louisville, from the Louisville Courier Journal, and surprisingly, a couple of people sent this in to me too. They have an election coming up. Jefferson County, I believe, Louisville is the county seat of Jefferson County. Now this is going to piss you off if you are an American with a little African blood inside. I hate the terms. I hate people of color. I hate saying people of color. I hate saying African American. I don't call people Irish American. If you are a person of, oh, to hell with it. If you're an American that has some African blood, African genetic material, you're not going to like this story. Because if I carried some African genetic material, which I do, all white people do, but you know what I'm talking about. The entire planet does. Huh? Out of Africa, dude. That's where we came from. Get used to it.
Oh, no, Mike, I'm not a colored man.
I'm getting way sidetracked here. But there's a reason for it. Jefferson County, Kentucky, Republicans. Intend to place Election Day challengers. That's what they're called. And they're legal. Election Day challengers. At 59 voting precincts in black neighborhoods. When the governor's, when is this? In November? This November? Huh? Right? Now, in what? This story is insulting. This is another one of those stories that makes me just ashamed to be Caucasian. Utterly, absolutely to be ashamed to be a white American. Now, you know, there's no real such thing here as race guilt. Every time a black person does something that's good, well, you see, that's the way them Negroes are. And you never say that about white people. You know, you can have somebody like Timothy McVeigh, and people don't say, well, you see, that's the way those white people are. No, you don't. But black folk, that's what happens to them. All right. Again, I'm getting sidetracked. If I were a black man, and one of these pasty-faced Republican sons of bitches came to my precinct in my neighborhood the day I'm taking time off from work, just dropped my kid off at school, and I'm a black man, and I'm driving up to vote, and this son of a bitch stuck his pasty face in mine and said, I'm challenging your right to vote. Oh, Jesus, Lord in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. There would be a real problem developed, if you know what I'm saying. Amen. But that's what they're going to do. Eh? 59 voting precincts in predominantly black neighborhoods in Louisville area. White Republicans are going to show up challenging Negroes. Hey, boy, come here. Let me see your card. What's your name, boy? Willie Jones? Prove it. Prove it? How does that prove it? Does that prove it? Huh? Now, the NAACP in Louisville said it's blatant intimidation. Well, duh. Blatant intimidation. This is putting a white sheet over and carrying that damnable pissant stars and bars and getting in black folks' face and say, you want to vote, nigger? Huh? Get past me, boy. Didn't we go through this in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s? Huh? Now, these white Republican election workers live outside the targeted precincts. Well, duh. They live in western and central Louisville. Oh, no. Well, no, they're going to live down there in the ghetto. They're going to live down there in the 59 voting precincts. No, they're not. They live out in Portland and Newburgh. I guess those are white areas. I have no idea. But they are going to be on hand in the black voter precincts to challenge voters who they suspect, the white folks suspect, aren't eligible. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, the Jefferson County Republican chairman, Jack Richardson IV, the fourth? Wow. Jack Richardson IV, man! That's pretty cool. What? You got the fourth? Sucker, come in here, and we will make sure there's no the fifth. But Mr. Richardson said the precincts were chosen at random.
Oh, they're all Negro precincts? Oh, well, we had no idea. Well, you see, they were chosen at random because the Republican Party has had trouble finding registered voters in those areas to serve as election workers. You know, the Negroes really don't vote. They just sit back and draw welfare. You know what I'm saying, don't you? I'm Jack Richardson IV. I'm the Jefferson County Republican chairman.
The challengers, these election day challengers, will receive the same training as precinct workers. Republican Chairman Richardson said the precincts weren't chosen because of their racial makeup or voting patterns. No.
The reason we chose these precincts, because it's in the best interest of everybody and the responsibility of both parties to protect the ballot integrity. That's the bottom line. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing.
Now, Kentucky law allows political parties to place one challenger at any precinct on election day to question the credentials of any voter whom the challengers believe or have a reason to believe isn't legitimate. Now, what the hell would that be? If
I am standing outside a precinct, a voting place, and somebody walks up, I don't care what the race is, on what basis would I think to myself,
I have a reason to believe that this person approaching me isn't legitimate.
Now, how am I going to do that?
Well, let me suggest this. If I am a white sucker, and I'm a Republican white sucker, and I want to cut down on the black vote because the black vote is going to elect the man I don't want elected, maybe I will take my white ass in front of that precinct, and when I see a black voter, that's a reason to believe he isn't legitimate. He's black.
I hate my country. I swear to you, I am starting to hate my country. This kind of stuff going on now in Louisville? In Louisville? Now, Republicans filed a list of the challengers and precincts with the Jefferson County Board of Elections. Democrats have filed no list and say they have no plans to do this kind of childish nonsense, this racist pig nonsense. Those challenged,
boy, come over here. I have reason to believe you're not a legitimate voter.
Those challenged must sign an oath swearing they are valid voters. Oh, boss, I'm legitimate. I am, boss. I really am. I just dropped my child off at school, and you know, I'm an American. I am legitimate.
Oh, I don't think you is, boy. You look suspect to me. Show me some identification.
You want me to show you my driver's license? My voter registration card? Who in the hell are you? How about if I show you this .45 caliber handgun I carry? Will that mean I am legitimate? Now, anyone who refuses won't be allowed to vote. If you are a black person, and let's face it, in the 59 voting precincts, only black people are going to be showing up to vote. And they're going to be confronted with a white man or a white woman who's going to say,
show me your credential, boy.
I don't sound racist. I'm not saying all blacks carry guns. I'm saying if somebody challenges my right to vote when I'm walking up to a precinct, I will show them my .38 caliber handgun.
Those challenged must sign an oath swearing that they are valid voters. Anyone who refuses to sign the oath won't be allowed to vote unless an election officer decides the challenge is unwarranted. And how do they do that?
I have reason to believe you're not legitimate.
I am legitimate.
You're not.
I am.
You're not.
I am.
Well, let's bring the voter precinct person out here, and that will stop the voting in this precinct until we get this settled. Mr. Voter Precinct Person, come out here.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm legitimate. He says I'm...
He's not legitimate.
What's up? What do you want me to do?
He's not legitimate. I am.
And everybody's standing in line finally say, oh, to hell with this, and they go home. What does that do? Cuts down on the voter totals, right? And these are black precincts, and everybody knows that blacks all vote Democratic. the former state NAACP voting empowerment coordinator is urging voters in these precincts to carry identification and to be aware that these white pissants will be present. The Jefferson County Election Board policy calls for residents to show picture ID when they sign in to vote. Democrats in Jefferson County, Kentucky, called the Republican challengers an attempt to intimidate black voters in what is expected to be a close race for governor between Ernie Fletcher, a Republican, and Ben Chandler, a Democrat. I don't know what to say about this. I've already said it. The state law in Kentucky says voters can't be challenged indiscriminately and that challengers must have, quote, a reason to believe a voter's qualifications are questionable. Now, how is that going to be? I'm going to tell you something. I will predict right now that some American who goes in one of these 59 precincts to vote, whose skin color is darker than the challenger's, is going to get challenged by one of these pissants. And it's going to be, you ever had those days? You know, one of those days when, the car wouldn't start and the kid's got a toothache and your health insurance just ran out and you can't get to the dentist and it's been suggested you're going to lose your job and your spouse was in a bad mood. And all of a sudden, you're trying to do the American thing, you're trying to vote, you're trying to go to the precinct, and some lard ass steps in front of you with white pasty skin and says, I'm challenging your right to vote. When I saw that story, I just thought, no, this is not a real story. Nah, come on. These Republicans are not going to go into 59 black precincts and just for the sheer hell of it, just for the intimidating part of it, challenge Americans that are of African descent. Let me see some proof that you are who you are, boy. Oh my God. And then it turns out that, no, the story's right. That's right. They're going to do it. They have every right to do it. And I would not be surprised if come Election Day in Jefferson County, Kentucky, at some point along the continuum of 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night, which is, I believe, when the polls are open, the local television news departments are not called to one or more of these precincts with a code 3 or possibly code 4 alert.
Wake up. So I say, what will it take before we change up? Some more of us dead, or more of us locked up, or maybe even more of us to blame the white man before we understand now the problem's not him. What I'm telling you is actual fact. I ain't pro-human cause all humans ain't pro-black. Remember in your mind that there still exists a plan to bring down a black fist. See, the struggle is uphill, life's at a standstill, jackpot Jill, now we don't act real, and every living moment got us singing the blues, a sole provider, can't afford the baby shoes, that's the cycle so many of us go through, America's black holocaust continues, and I just hope we wake up soon before we fold, I miss the days of old.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, shed your hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network. This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
They want to recount all the votes since the bats gave machines some strife and woe. They say, just say no.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
5 before the hour. Hey, listen, to people who are traveling tomorrow for the pro-peace, anti-Bush imperialism demonstrations, if you're just traveling halfway across your town or halfway across the country, Godspeed, watch out, take it easy, and put your heart into it. I don't have to tell you that. I know you will. And also, a quick program note again, on Monday, Nancy Skinner, who is running for the Senate in Illinois, and old friend, colleague, co-hosts a program on this network, will be on our program, second hour Monday night. And CNN's Wolf Blitzer program, Monday around 12:30, I've been invited to be a guest there. So And if you get the chance, throw White Rose Society some bucks. Ben archives all kinds of liberal programs and needs a few dollars. And if you got any left over, toss it to Shelby LePre, radiopower.org. Who else can win? If you have any left over, give it to NPR. Or send it to Skinner's political campaign. You know, oh, my God. I don't, it's just, we're always begging for cash, aren't we? Alicia's calling from Tampa. Hey, Alicia.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good, but you know what, darling? We've got about 30 seconds.
Oh,
and
my
I am so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Maybe I should call tomorrow because,
Well, what'd you want to say real quick?
Oh, I just wanted to say, I wanted to give you a laugh, okay, before you went to sleep, okay?
Real quick.
You know how Bush has been on this begging for money tour?
Yeah, yeah, like I've been
it's
doing.
It's pathetic.
Here.
Yeah. Anyhow, he was in Hawaii, and we know he's illiterate,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
He went to give the shaker sign or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
The shaker sign is where you just hold up your pinky and your thumb.
Yeah.
Okay? He couldn't even do that,
oh.
Mike. Oh, yeah. He insulted the people. They were bewildered and disgusted.
I've got a sign that involves fingers that I would like to show him if
oh.
I ever get a chance. You know?
Do I have one?
Hey, Alicia, we got a boogie.
You better stay on the mainland.
Thank you, dear.
Hey, we're watching.
I appreciate it. Thanks to Mark Marshall and our moderators at MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't gone there and registered, please do. It's a lot of fun. No ads, no pop-ups, no calories, no carbs. Also to Jim in Arkansas, our Music Bureau Chief, as always, thank you, Jim. Y'all have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday, I hope. I really, really hope. Oh, and the program engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones. Forgot that. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
She is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fantila mm-hmm. is
right,
like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault.